So on top of that, I've also been playing Time Out. Owen, what do you need?
What are you doing?
We're recording. Owen, go. Go, go.
Caroline,
I was trying to get him over here.
That means you gotta watch him.
Welcome to the Just a Bit Gaming Podcast. We are recording on Sunday, what is it, September 3rd,
wow.
2017. I am your host, Adrian Bertazoid Townsend. Whoop. And my host today, my co-host today, is, again, my wife, Amy.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Amy.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too. So we are we're going to kick this show off a little try to get back into the routine again. Ryan needs to take some time off, so he's gonna take a week or two. I'm not sure how long. He's needing just a little bit of a break to handle some personal matter, but that's okay, because Amy and I are gonna keep the show rolling. And yeah,
we had good feedback, so
yeah, I had a couple people say that they really liked you, so I was like, okay, cool.
Well, I'm not quite as witty, though.
Yeah? But you're a good fill-in, and, you know, I know where you live, so I can rope her into doing it with me. Okay. Today, we got a couple topics that we're going to talk about. We're going to start off with what we're playing or what I'm playing. Then we're going to go in a little bit of a game collecting talk, mm-hmm. talk about the hunt of the game in our adventures. Let's see, we're also going to talk about the Super Nintendo Classic, which went on pre-order last week.
Yay.
And then we're going to finish out with a bit of a different segment. We're going to talk about what Amy's watching. She doesn't play a whole lot of video games, but she watches TV shows, so we get to hear about what you're watching and your opinion on them. Okay, so we'll get started with what we're playing. What are you playing, Amy?
Okay, so since I don't play very much, and I don't have often that I can play, the game that I was enjoying when I have my small amount of time is Werewolves Within, the VR.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, first off, for people who are really good at that game, I'm not. I'm such a social person, and I think that whoever designed this game maybe had housewives in mind, because we're stuck at home with the kids, and it's my window out into to the social world.
It is a straight-up social mm-hmm. game. I can't really get into it, but she loves it. She'll just get on there and play forever. So for those who don't know, mm-hmm. can you describe it?
So Werewolves Within, it's actually a card-based game.
Yeah.
Like, you can play it with actual, I guess, people that are in the same room. And so the VR is, you have two different classes. You have a werewolf team and townsfolk. And basically the townsfolk are trying to guess who the werewolves are, because you want to vote them off. And it's an entire game. It might be social, but it's an entire game of just lying to people.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I couldn't really understand how to play it, because we just kind of jumped in. They have mm-hmm. a few short video tutorials, mm-hmm. but it goes into a lot of depth as mm-hmm. to there's a role that each person plays, mm-hmm. and each of those roles has specific
abilities. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess abilities, but you have secret abilities that
kind of help you with the game to determine who people are.
Yeah, help you determine who the werewolves are.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of confusing, and if you don't know your role,
right,
then it's hard.
I got nerdy about it, and I actually got on YouTube to figure out how to play it, because like, it really is based off of your specific role, and these are all like dealt to you randomly, so it's not like you can pretend to be. Because the whole point is guessing who everybody is.
Right. So. And so even if you have a role that you would like other people to know, you can't really, you you have a short amount of time to convince them that mm-hmm. you are that person.
And you have to know, like, even like specific wording. Cause if I pretended yeah. to be a certain, like if I pretended to be, the fortune teller or whatever, and I said things to, like that isn't worded the way you know it is, then they'll know right away I'm lying.
Yeah. It's, or if there's so many of a of particular roles that can be in a game. And if somebody is trying to say that they are this person, mm-hmm. like what are the roles? I can't even remember. What
there's houndsmen.
Yeah.
And they can like sniff, like you can also lean in the game and like you whisper.
See, I never understood how that worked. Uh-huh. So I guess you lean in to your avatar of the other character. Mm-hmm. And only they can hear you. And it does a
private chat. Yeah.
But how do you know that? Like, is there some kind of visual cue on screen to let you know that? You just
lean in. Like, it follows your body.
But when you do that, like, how do I know that everybody can't hear what I'm saying?
It's just because we've seen people do it. And, like, whenever it's two people lean in, all the outside people hear is whispering, goes...
Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is they should have some sort of visual cue to say, hey, now you're at the point. Oh, that it's
engaged. Yeah,
it's engaged.
I don't know.
Nobody can hear you.
I've just done it. And it's like a leap of faith. So,
yeah. I don't know. I'm glad you like that game. I'm not a big fan of it.
I do. I really enjoy it. But it's because you have, like, it's VR, so it's over your face.
And it's also a lot like your favorite board game or card game, mm-hmm. The Resistance.
Yes. Yeah. That's my favorite. It's
very similar to The Resistance.
I always have to convince you guys to play that.
Yeah. What if they made The Resistance in VR? Then you would be satisfied.
I'd be good at it then.
You would be. I know that for sure. All right. Well, that's it.
That's all I play. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty much all.
And I haven't really had time to.
No phone games or anything like that.
I've been playing something called Two Dots, where you have to like connect dots to, and it's just kind of my when I'm bored type of thing. Mm. So yeah.
Well, I'm gonna get all nerdy on you.
Yeah.
Talk about
a
couple games that I've been playing the past couple weeks. I picked up Final Fantasy XII, mm-hmm. the remastered PS4 version. I can't remember the sub name for it, but basically they up-res the graphics and mm-hmm. Gave it a little bit of an overhaul. Visually, the faces look better. Graphics are cleaner. And it looks pretty good. It's really nice. Mm-hmm. That's a game I bought when it came out originally, the PS2 version, mm-hmm. when it first came out. I bought like the special edition, but at that time we were deep into Halo 2.
Yeah.
And so I didn't really give that game a chance. Mm-hmm. We were so invested in Halo 2 and that world, I guess, and all our friends and everything, mm-hmm. that I tried to get into Final Fantasy 12, but a few things turned me off on it. It was a big departure from the Final Fantasy series in general.
Hmm. How so?
The active time battles, like, you know how in a game where you have your characters sitting there and you give them a command and they go attack and then they go back to their position? Well, it doesn't really do that. I mean, it's more like an MMO, like mm-hmm. World of Warcraft or something. All your characters are together and they're running around and you see the enemies pop up real time and you go up and you fight them real time.
Right.
But you don't hit a button to hit. You command them to attack or use a spell or whatever, mm-hmm. and they do it on their own. And you can give your party members commands, but they rely more heavily on automated commands called the Gambit system. Mm-hmm. So this Gambit system allows you to prioritize what each person does, like attack the main person that the human character is attacking, or heal the person heal whoever is less than 50% health. So you're giving them kind of automatic commands. And at the time I couldn't really get into that. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember how far I got into it. I think I got further than I am now, but going back and playing it again, mm-hmm. I've gotten a lot more into it. I mean, it's fun. I really enjoy it. That was
going to be my question. Are you glad you got back into it?
Yeah. Okay. I'm enjoying it this second time around much better than I did the first time. I didn't even really consider it a good game then. And
really?
Yeah. I couldn't get into it. I was enjoying the characters a little bit. Like, they have some really good, characters, but they don't build them up very well. Mm-hmm. and I'm going back and playing it again and paying better attention to the story. The story is also a little bit harder to follow because it's very political.
I
was kind of
enjoying what I saw. I know, but that's why I like it.
Politics go over my head.
And I enjoy it.
I lose interest really quick. So I am having a hard time following the story a little bit, but I can still generally follow the story. And I'm still enjoying the characters and
the music.
I'm really enjoying. Yeah, the music is really good.
I like that.
It's from the same composer who did Final Fantasy Tactics, which is one of my favorite Final Fantasy games.
Mm, that makes sense.
So yeah, those songs are really reminiscent.
So he'll play and he waits till everybody goes to bed, and then I'll come back to the bedroom, and then I don't even mind because the music.
What are you doing? Reading a book or something?
Usually.
Yeah. So I'll. I'm really getting into the leveling up of the characters and stuff. Mm. There's this grid-based system where you level up.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
So you get...
Looks like a mini game. It looks like it should be a mini game.
Well, yeah, and the way it works is every battle that you go into, you get 1 point to use on unlocking these different tiles. Mm-hmm. And the different tiles give you, like... you can use swords level 2, which means you can go to the store and buy the second tier of swords and equip them on your character. Sense. Or gives you new magic abilities, new gambit slots, new abilities in general. And each one of them costs so many of these points that you get from defeating enemies. And they're usually in the 20, 30, 40 range. So when you unlock one, it shows the next two next to it. Mm-hmm. So... it's fun to go out and accumulate these points to unlock new abilities. And then while you're out battling, you unlock an ability and it shows a new one that you want. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh man, I need to go to bed, but man, I really want that ability. I'll just get that ability real quick before I go to bed, which means about 25 battles because each battle, but it goes fast. That's the great thing about this game. They also, with the remastered version, they gave the option to fast forward walking in battles and everything.
Oh, that was what happened. Like, you all of a sudden started. Did you know that you did that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you turn on the fast forward and it moves just a little bit faster. And when you go into these battles, they don't last very long at all. So it's go to battle, fight, get your point. Go to battle, fight, get your point. It's literally almost that fast. It seems like it's that speed boost really also helps with making monotony. Me want to, the monotony that I couldn't get into before. Because I remember there was spending a lot of time battling, trying to get these points that I want, and it just seemed like it took forever. Mm-hmm. And this fast forward feature helps that tremendously. Mm-hmm. I don't have a whole ton of time to sit there and grind, but when you add in the feature to fast forward the monotony of it, it helps tremendously. Mm-hmm. They did that with Final Fantasy X Remake. They did that with... like the Dragon Quest games on the 3DS, which is another one I've been playing lately. I really like that they're adding me in these fast forward functions because you can fast forward through the battles and then stop the fast forwarding when you get into story, you know, when you're going around talking to people or whatever. It's really cool and helpful. Mm-hmm. So I'm also playing Dragon Quest VIII on the 3DS. That's another one that's a remake, I guess, or a remaster. I have it on the PS2, and I started playing it, but that game requires, again, a lot of time. It's an RPG, they do. Mm-hmm. And the save points are kind of spread out. So when you turn on an RPG on an older system, be prepared to know that you are going to have to spend, 30 minutes to an hour, or longer in some cases, in between save points. So you got to make sure to devote that kind of time.
Right.
And for me, when I'm laying in bed and I'm playing a game on the TV, and if it's late, like 11, 12 o'clock, the chances of me falling asleep while I'm playing a game are so high that I can't devote to those games, you know? And that's what I like about the 3DS is that I can, play it until I fall asleep. And I'll fall asleep with the 3DS in my hand, like, oh, yeah, shut the clamshell, put it down on the... on the
I always nightstand. Know when you are too, because the music will be going and then your breathing gets heavy.
Beth falls asleep.
And I look over.
Do you know how many times? You know how many times I've been... See, I'll usually lay on my back and have a pillow on my chest and have the 3DS like kind of up here or whatever handheld system I have kind of sitting up above my head. How many times I've like fallen asleep and the thing hits me in my mouth or my chin and hurts. So I've been trying to do it the opposite, lay on my stomach.
Yeah, I've noticed you haven't been, yeah.
But it is nice to be able to play a game and fall asleep playing a game. It's just, that's the time, the gaming time that I get to put in. Yeah. So handheld systems are really at favor for me, you know. The 3DS has been my go-to system as of late, just because of the Dragon Quest games. But Dragon Quest 7 and 8, they both got put out on the 3DS within the past year. But I got Dragon Quest 8, and I've been playing through it, and I'm probably, I don't know, 12 hours into it. And it's...
It always blows me away when I hear you say, or anybody say, oh, it's about a 36-hour game or 12. Like, it. I guess it doesn't ever seem like you're on it 12 hours, because...
Well, I mean, if you take in consideration that I generally turn it on every night, right?
Right. No, I know, but I guess I'm just so shocked.
I play for about an hour every night.
12 hours.
So, and I got that game about a month ago. Mm-hmm. So that sounds about right.
It's so means, different with me reading a book, I know, but it's always surprising. Because the stories, like, for me, I always think, like, oh my gosh, if it's 12 hours long, I would think I'd get bored with it. But it never seems like it's been 12 hours. Like, usually I can still stay with your story and get into it and everything.
Well, that's the beauty of, you know, RPGs to me, especially the handheld ones. I can put in the amount of time that they require. It's going to take me several months to get through a game, but I'll get through it on a handheld. And I love that. So handheld RPGs are my favorite. I've also, in order to play the PS1 RPGs that I want to play, I've got a PSP that I modded. And
surprise.
So I'm able to take some of my disc-based games and convert them into a file that is easily read by my PSP. And I can play my PS1 games on my PSP.
I didn't know you did that.
Yeah. Well, I've only done it with a few. There's a ton of RPGs that I bought on the PlayStation Network that I play on the Vita. Does that sound nerdy yet? Laying off all these handhelds?
It sounds normal for me.
I really like my handheld gaming, though. So, yeah, I've got a ton of PS1 games on the PlayStation Network. Like all the Final Fantasies, you know, and stuff like that. And it's fun for me to be able to play those on the.
You know what I've noticed? I keep hearing, like... It seems like it's the season of remakes.
Yeah, we talked about... Well, I guess, did you hear that episode? Ryan and I were discussing remakes and remasters.
Oh, well, yeah, I did. I listened to all of them, but so, I mean...
Yeah, lately, it seems like it's a safe bet for developers to remaster an older game because they don't have to spend as much time or money into it.
Do you think it's because it's our age group now? Because, I mean, our age group, like, you hear a game that's, like, from a... long time ago, or you have a game that you think of, I don't know, seems like you have fond memories and you're like, yeah, I'll play that again. Or is it just
it's definitely pulling on the nostalgia chords. Otherwise I wouldn't picked up Final Fantasy 12 again. I always felt like I needed to go back and give that game another shot. Well, they remastered it, what better time than now?
Right.
So I went ahead and did it, and you know, I'm thankful that I did because I'm enjoying it. Or like the Dragon Quest games, I've had those for a while, and I haven't been able to put some time into them. Mm-hmm. I love the Dragon Quest series, and I played a few of them.
I like the animation.
Yeah, I do too. The what is his name? Akira Toriyama. Uh-huh. He does the Dragon Ball Z characters and stuff.
Yeah, they look. I always feel like I'm just watching Dragon Ball Z.
His art style is really it's unique for the anime, and I really like it too. So to be able to go in, like Dragon Quest VIII specifically has a lot of that. Mm-hmm. Character art style that he lends to it. So yeah, Dragon Quest VIII is fun. It's the storyline is really good. I'm enjoying the storyline thoroughly.
I feel like there's a Dragon Quest you're also playing on the TV in here. It's not just handheld. Is that my...
The Heroes? Maybe. Dragon Quest Heroes, where you just go around fighting enemies constantly.
It seems like it.
Yeah, it's just like a hack and slash game.
Okay.
It's not an RPG, but it's in the Dragon Quest world using Dragon Quest characters from all the different games.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a fun one too. yeah, I really enjoy the Dragon Quest games, but yeah, the storyline in this one is super good. It's taking some time to really develop the characters, which is awesome. Any RPG that really spends time on character development is really high on my list as ones that I'm going to love. Because you spend enough time with this game that you want to care about your characters. The last one I can think of that really did that for me was Persona 4.
Mm-hmm.
Persona 4 spent a lot of time in character development, and it helped. Like, I couldn't stop playing that game. I got so sucked into it.
I like that one so much that they have an anime of that one, right?
Yeah. we found the anime, and I wanted to show Amy the anime for the game that I had been playing, because I played it on the Vita. And you heard off and on, but you didn't get to hear the whole story. Mm-mm. But the anime sums up the story fairly well. There's a lot that it misses out.
I always tell you that I'm frustrated. Like, they have these, like with RPGs, JRPGs specifically, they have these amazing, like opening scenes that look like it should be an anime. And I get super excited because I love anime. And I'm like, is this an anime? Can I watch this? And you're like, no, it's just the opening sequence.
And it's always the...
Oh, it makes me mad.
It's always the Tails games that you say that to.
Is it? I don't even know which ones. I just know that they look like they'd be
awesome. Anytime I put on the Tails game, they have a cool song that comes on with a really cool anime sequence that comes on with it right before the game even starts.
Yep.
And I always stop and have to watch it for a little bit because they're cool.
They're really good. And it gets me super excited. And then I'm let down.
There's nothing. Unless you want to sit there and watch me play a certain section of the big story, you know?
I know.
Like 10 minutes. Like the amount of time that I spend on the game, maybe let's say it's play for an hour. We may only get like 10 minutes worth of storyline. Right. The rest of it's grinding and stuff. So yeah, it just stretches out. It's fun though. I love it. All right, so moving on, we wanted to talk about a little bit about game collecting and how it affects our family.
Yeah.
But we hit on that last time, but this time we wanted to talk about like the hunt.
Mm-hmm.
What that entails and how does that
I kind of wanted to like I wanted us to kind of look at the reality, because like you can find all of this stuff. Like there's some really cool people that we watch on YouTube. I'm also a YouTube watcher. So I like it when he watches some of the game collecting people.
YouTube is my go-to for sure. What? I don't watch Netflix or Hulu or anything like that, but if I'm watching something, it's usually a YouTube
channel. It's true. Yeah. I think you like that short attention span.
Well, they're not very long and they're usually focused on something that I'm interested in, say a game or whatever. And I want to learn more about that game or this series or this developer, whatever. There's a video on YouTube that's going to go into depth about it. And it's super interesting to me. Same goes for like my graphic design stuff. Like,
yep, you do.
There's a bunch of videos that talk about different aspects of design that I really enjoy. And it's something that I can watch and listen to. And it's super focused on what I'm into. I'm not into stories, I guess.
Right.
No. Like you.
Like me. Yeah. I'm totally into stories.
Yeah. Well, like... But I am into stories when I play my games. It's weird. But I'd rather...
I think you like taking part. I like to just sit back, relax, and just let it... That's why our dynamic works so well, because you can play the game, and I can sit back and relax, and I don't have to, like, actually do it.
Well, that and it's... Yeah, and I like to learn. You like to learn through reading. Mm-hmm. I like to learn through watching.
Yep.
So I'm learning a bit about games through these videos. I'm learning a bit about art, graphic design through these videos. So it's all stuff that's...
Well, I always feel like those videos, like they show like the really cool, the fun part of the hunt, which is a lot, which is that all the time. But there's a reality to it sometimes that...
That's true.
I think if you're wanting to get into hunting, is that how we say it? It's hunting? Like this is our game hunting season?
That's what I've always called it, yeah.
I think that...
Hunting season is in the spring and then the fall.
Yep.
Why is that?
It's because it's garage sales.
That's right.
I know. Some of my girlfriends, their husbands have hunting season and they just know. And it's the same with me.
So. Hunting season for like actual hunting.
I know that on Saturdays I'm going to wake up and you won't be here because you went out.
Yeah.
Hunting early.
Yep. Usually in the fall and the spring, I'll get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, get out and
I don't wake up at
start garage selling, and I'll be gone until about 11.
Yep. Noon. Or until I get annoyed enough.
Or until you get annoyed.
It's
like,
true. I'm all about reality.
And then I have to come home. But I mean, honestly, I get out and go. Usually I'll try to get out as many Friday mornings as I can before work, because right. I usually don't have to be to work yeah, till 9.
That's true. You do get out early then.
And but I usually try to get out every Saturday, especially during, you know, neighborhood sales.
Peak season. And you got an app. Like, he's very good at it, too. So
It's an event for me, for seasonal event for me, for sure. Like, because in the wintertime, I don't go. In the summertime, I don't go.
Yeah.
I'll hit up the occasional thrift store. I used to go to the thrift stores every single day. And yeah.
I feel like we use that as a family outing, though, now.
It is. It's kind of turned into that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll usually go there with the intent of trying to find something. Mm-hmm. And that's the reality of it, is as many times as I go, mm-hmm. like, you know, okay, the spring season, garage sale season, for instance, I went out every weekend for a solid, 2 months? Mm-hmm. And the only things that I found a Nintendo 64 with a handful of, you know, B-list games, none of the top tier, right. you know, Mario or first party Nintendo games. Paid $10 for that, mm-hmm. which was a good deal. That was the only thing I found this year. Mm-hmm. I can't think of anything else.
Do you
feel
like it's slowing down?
Oh, it's slowed down tremendously yeah. over the past
That's what I feel like. Years. Yeah.
But I still love the excitement of finding that thing, you know, whatever mm-hmm. it may be. So I go out anyway and pursue it and hope that I come out lucky. Because you still can. You just got to weigh out, is your time investment worth the outcome?
It's gambling. We kind of talked about that. It's a lot gambling. Like gambling. Like yeah. some people put the penny slot in and they're just going to, and then you win a little bit and you're like, yeah, let's keep going.
Yeah. So, and it is, it's worth it to me. So long as Amy is happy, I'm not gone. And I usually picky. I don't spend that much money.
No.
I only spend money if I find something really great that I have mm-hmm. to have. And even then, it's super cheap. It's like right. nothing. That's why you go to these places, garage sales, thrift stores, stuff like that. You get valuable games for really cheap, but you got to know what you're looking for.
Right.
You can't just go and, you know, is this worth anything? Is this something?
Yeah.
No, if you go into it with that kind of mentality, then
not
you're going in it
what
for
I've
the wrong
noticed
reasons.
Is like on Facebook, if people are selling things, they think just because it's a vintage game that means it's expensive. So I'll yeah. send you, I will randomly send you messages saying, is this a good deal? And you're like, no,
yeah.
no, that's way, nobody will pay that.
Right. And, you know, that's the other problem. And, you know, since I've been collecting for a while, I keep up with the market and what the games right. are worth. And I have a pretty good general knowledge of game values across all systems. There's very few that I don't really know, but
you're like a stock market trader for video games.
Kind of. I mean, it's another
one of those
things.
You watch your stuff and yeah, you keep up yeah. with it and you know when to sell and when not.
Well, it's helpful. First of all, it's fun for me to know this stuff. I just, right. I like to research it in general anyway. But it's very helpful when you're out and mm-hmm. you see something and you know the value of it. I don't have to get out my phone and sit there and look
it
up.
And he's spot on. Like whenever I see a game and I'll ask him and you'll be like, oh, it usually sells for around this.
Yeah.
And then if you look it up on eBay, and it will be every game. Like, I don't know how he knows.
Like I said, it's you spend your off time watching videos on your phone. I spend my off time, you know, oh, this is a game I want. I wonder how much it's worth. Or I know like most of my collection,
right.
what I paid for it. And I know the value fluctuation is not that high at the moment. Mm-hmm. And so I can generally guess on what they're worth. But yeah, I mean, it helps. You don't want to go to a garage sale and find a right. stack of games and be like, oh, what's this one worth? And looking it up. No,
right.
you don't want to do that. It's rude, first of all.
Right.
And you're not going to get a good value out of it either. If you just see this stack and you're trying to figure out prices and then you go up to the person, they see you doing this and you're like, how much for this? Well, they're going to shoot you a high offer because they know that you're trying or a high price, or they're going to say, make me an offer, knowing that you're going to, that you already know what the value is. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just, it's something that's, it's rude and it's, you know, it's not good. So if I go there and I see a stack of games, like I did this at a few garage shows last year, you know, I find some first party GameCube games mm-hmm. on a table, some really good ones like Smash Bros. And Mario Kart and stuff like that.
Right.
the guy was like, man, I don't know what the values of these are. You know, just make me an offer. I said, you know, I gave him a lump sum for the whole stack. You know, I don't remember how much.
I like how you say it, though. You don't, like, you say, well, I don't want to pay more than this. Like, you aren't, like,
right.
You aren't deceitful. Because I have, like, I have things, like, I want it to be, like, truthful and not taken. Like, and I mean, you hear stories, like, people being shady about it. And you don't. You just say, well, I don't want to pay more than this.
I don't want to rip the guy off.
Right, exactly.
But at the same time, I know that I don't want to pay more than a certain amount for
right.
it.
Right. So I think that's smart. I think that's polite, and I think that's reasonable.
So I'm kind of straight up with him. I was like, well, I really don't want to pay more than this much for right. this game or whatever. And they'll always be like, yeah, sure, no problem. Right. And most of the time, they're happy with that because you actually probably offered him more than he was willing to take.
Right.
And we both come out happy. He's happy because he got more than he thought he was going to get. Mm-hmm. I'm happy because I paid a lot less than I thought I was going to have to pay.
Than you know you could get, yeah.
So it's a win-win. Be honest. Be truthful.
Yes.
Be, you know, be fair. Yep. You know, and I'm not buying these games to resell. I'm not mm-hmm. a reseller. I'm buying them for my collection. Now, there are a time or two when you'll see a game that you know is a high-dollar game, and it's sitting there, and it's marked for a dollar. Well, yeah, I'm going to buy that and resell it.
Right.
Because how else am I going to fund buying That's the rest true. Of my collection? Game collecting is expensive. It's yeah, it a is. Very expensive hobby.
Yes, it is.
And if you can supplement that financial burden by reselling
right.
things that you found cheap, by all means, do it.
But it's
it.
Not like you were ripping people off. I'm not Somebody scalping. Had it for a dollar and you're like, all right, I'll pay that.
That's what they had. Right. That's what they had listed.
Right.
He didn't say, make me an offer. Yeah, I'm going to be honest when they say that. But if they just have it on the table for a price, that's up for grabs for anybody. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to pay whatever they're asking.
Well, and here's the funny thing, too. You, not only with your hunting, you have made it so exciting for all of us. Like, everybody in his life, myself, you've got friends, you've got your brother.
Yeah.
We get excited and we will find, like, he has people call him all the time. Hey, I found this game. Is this a good price?
Yeah.
And a lot of times
it doesn't it happen
will
so much
be.
Anymore, but it right. used to happen a lot. But two of my best finds ever happened because of friends, not because of what yep. I found, because of friends or family. For instance, my Earthbound, I got an Earthbound complete in box from my lovely wife.
Yeah. I'm the best gamer wife.
She,
ever.
One of her friends found out that I was into gaming and collecting and RPGs, and mm-hmm. and she was talking to him about it, and he said that he had Earthbound complete in box, and so she knew that was one that I would right. absolutely love.
And we
to
kind
have.
Of told him, like, research it, because mm-hmm. at first I feel like he was like, well, you can just have it, and I could not.
No, that, not, I felt, not for something like that.
No.
But
and they were amazing with their offer to us, like.
Yeah, he made her a really great offer mm-hmm. on it. I didn't really know about it at this point.
No, not yet.
It was a birthday gift. I found out about it before my birthday. I don't remember how that happened.
He's Excuse good. Me. He always figures out somehow.
But she was able to negotiate with him, and he was super nice with her and mm-hmm. gave her a really good deal on it. And I got an Earthbound CIB for my birthday, and it didn't break the bank whatsoever. And it was yep. awesome. That's one of my favorite pieces of my collection. One that I honestly never thought I would have. So, but I also found, or I didn't find, my good friend Michael found me a copy of Snatcher.
Right.
Complete. Immaculate condition. I mean, I don't think this game had ever been played. So what happened with that was he was at one of the thrift stores that I go to pretty often. Like it was one that I go to every day.
Right, because it's Used on to. The way home. Yeah.
Well, he happened to be there one day when I was at work. He stopped in, and they had just put out a stack of Sega CD games. Mm-hmm. So he texts me and shows me this stack of Sega CD games. And I'm going through them and like, oh, yeah, those are cool. It'd be nice to have. And then the very last one on the stack I saw was Snatcher. And I was like, buy that now. I don't care what they want for it. Just yeah. buy the whole stack. And, you know, I'll pay you back. Just bring it straight to me, because he was the thrift store was only a couple miles away from my work. So I was like, just bring it straight here. I'll give you the money right now. Just I don't care. Just buy it.
Yep.
So he picked it up and brought it to me.
They wanted how much for each one?
$3 a piece.
Yep.
So I paid $3 for Snatcher, complete the box. And yeah, and I was telling him about it. He's like, what's so special about this? And I showed him the game, and then I showed him the eBay prices for it. And he was pretty blown away. He's like, man, I could have kept this and sold it on eBay. I
was like, but no.
No, thank you. This is one that I wanted for my collection. That's both of those games are both games that are super high dollar that I always wanted in my collection, but I'm not going to pay that much money for them. So the fact that we were able to get good deals, the fact that I have friends and family helping me out is amazing. So, I mean, that's like the biggest piece of advice I would give to anybody who's collecting is be social about it.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure people know that that's what you do, that that's what you're into. If they know that, then they're going to help you out, you know? And, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have friends and family who already do stuff like that. But another one, my sister.
Yeah.
She finds great stuff for me all the
time.
And she's constantly messaging me with, is this a good deal? Do you want this? And then, you know, and I've got a ton of great stuff from her. So yeah, just make friends with people. Yep. Let them know what you're into. You'll be surprised at what you can get.
Yep.
But back on topic a little bit, we wanted to talk about the hunt and how often we come up empty versus how often we get things. I'd say, well, I guess I told the story about the garage sailing. I used to go to the thrift store every day, and I would maybe find something decent once a month, maybe, if I'm lucky. And so, yeah, a lot of my collection has come from just years of determination and dedication to going out and trying to find this stuff.
And I think also when people, you said be social, people will hear that you have, that you collect vintage video games, air quote vintage.
Right.
And they'll say, oh, I have some games that I haven't played. You want to go through it? So I feel like we get that all the time, too.
I haven't had that. I don't feel like I've had that very much.
Really? Yeah. Maybe it's just more for me.
Well, yeah, I haven't seen that very often, but yeah, that does help, too. So anyway, we wanted to talk about our most recent hunt. And this is kind of a family event. The kids hate it.
Yeah, they do. But we always make up for it.
We always make up for it. We take them out, get them snow cones or whatever, and take them to the park, let them play.
Right. You know?
And if we're going to thrift stores and stuff, they always find stuff that they want.
Right, they always get something.
And so usually we'll make a Saturday morning out of it. You know, if it's not during garage sale season, usually I'll go garage selling by myself or with a friend of mine.
Or I'll make you take the baby so that I can sleep in.
Yeah, or that. So but usually we'll go out and spend a couple hours just going out and, you know, Amy sometimes finds some nice clothes while we're out for stores and stuff, and I'll find some decent games. And so the last time we went out, I found a few game, or I had a coupon for a game store, local game store here that I wanted to use. And I went there and got a couple Game Boy games, some Mega Man ZX, Mega Man Zero Collection or something. I don't remember what it is. Oh, it's right here. ZX Advent. And yeah, Zero Collection. Yeah, I found those. Those were cool. I hadn't had those yet. And then I also had a buy two, get one free at GameStop. And I had some credit there.
Right.
So I went to GameStop and I picked up, they happen to have a copy of Castlevania Dawn of Sorrow for the Nintendo DS, which is, to find that complete is kind of hard to do. But they had it there for like $20. And I picked up Fire Emblem Echoes and Final Fantasy Explorers for like $5 out of pocket. The rest of it was trading credit. So, yeah, it's fun to go out and find these things. And I had a good time. I don't know if you have a good time.
It's definitely a family affair. Well, my job when we go hunting is to entertain the kids and to make sure they don't break stuff. That's usually what I'm doing.
Well, it depends on where we go.
True.
If we're going to like a game store, yeah. Then.
Right. Well, sometimes we'll sit in the car and we'll just, you know, we can wait. And I just keep
promising. But your job is also to make sure that I'm not spending too much time.
Somewhere. Oh, yeah. I'm definitely your clock person. Yeah. I'll text them. I'll be like, it's 10 minutes. We're all still in the car.
So I'll try to be quick, but yeah, she's good about keeping me on a schedule.
Realistic.
And
realistic time.
Yeah, so It's fun. If you can make it a family event, you know, if you're a family man, make it a family event. Mm-hmm. There's a way to do it, and everybody, you know, has fun.
Yep.
Just don't be selfish. I have a tendency to get selfish, and I luckily have a wife that keeps me in check.
I'm not shy, and I remember, like, if it's something you love, I want to do it, but I'm also not going to let my time.
I've said it once. I've said it a million times. I couldn't ask for a more supportive wife of my hobby. Seriously. It's like.
You're welcome.
The fact that you let me take over our bedroom is pretty amazing. So anyway, moving on. I wanted to talk about the SNES Classic.
Oh, I have mixed feelings.
What do you mean? What's your mixed feelings?
Well, just every time there's a new console, I always have mixed feelings. Like, it's always cool to get a new thing, and there's going to be new games. There's always something kind of new that's neat. It's never going to stop. I know. It will never stop. But yeah, it's always... This is a different kind of hunt than what I've... My perception is a different kind of hunt, because especially with Nintendo that I'm learning, just from the outside, Nintendo just doesn't want to, like... make enough of things, and it's not just you. I see people, like, other people I know are crazy, and they want it. So when I, especially if it's Nintendo, then I'm always like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
Here it goes.
Here we go again.
Yep.
So, Best Buy surprised everybody, last Monday night?
Mm-hmm.
You were asleep. You didn't know what was going on.
No, I did not. You woke me up. You're like, so,
Yeah, so, first of all, let me just say, I managed to get one. Not only did I manage to get one, I managed to get three from me, and I had two other good friends that are looking for, Super Nintendo Classics, and I'm their go-to guy to help them with that. So usually when something pops up, I'll text them real quick. Get mm-hmm. on, get it, order it now. Yeah. And so far, they've come up empty-handed every time.
Right.
But I haven't. And so I was able to get myself one. And granted that, or hopefully that these orders don't get canceled or whatever. Right.
Well, then my two other friends
who needed one also have one.
You were kind of nervous when I suggested, let's tell people you got three, because you were like, because you didn't want to look like, again, like the scalper, because that drives me insane.
I'm not a scalper. You know, I talked about scalping my Amiibo. That, you know, I'm not a scalper, though. That was just...
Well, you didn't...
I sold the Amiibo to help me get more money to buy more Amiibo, more or less, or games. You're still giving in general. Them money? But, you know, with the Super Nintendo Classic, no, I'm not going to scalp these things. I want everybody who wants one to get one.
Right.
And so I'm not going to support...
Literally, right.
I'm not going to support the people who are buying it and selling it for, mm-hmm. you know, hundreds of dollars. You know, three, four times the value mm-hmm. of what the damn thing cost originally.
So I thought it was a good idea. I thought it would be a good idea for you to help, like, tell people, like, especially if they're still trying to get one, like, what are you doing?
The tactics for getting it.
Yeah.
So the way I do this is, and this has worked for me with, you know, the NES Classic, mm-hmm. with anything that I've ever gotten that I know is going to be hard to get a hold of.
Basically anything Nintendo.
Yeah. Or if you're looking for a good deal on things mm-hmm. in general, there are two, you need a Twitter account. You need mm-hmm. a Twitter account. You need Twitter installed on your phone. You need to follow @Wario64, and you need to follow @VideoGameDeals, which is Cheap Ass Gamer. Awesome website. Awesome
Shout out to podcast. Cheap Ass Gamer.
I love that podcast.
I like I've listened to them to for the past podcast.
Like 10 years. They're still one of my favorites. but anyway, you follow those two accounts, and you turn on notifications for those accounts. So whenever they make a tweet, it notifies me on my phone. It mm-hmm. dings or vibrates or whatever to let me know that they just posted. So instinctively, and I've got it set to a certain tone so that I know that, oh, that means one of those guys just posted something. I better check and see what it is.
TPD.
So I was laying in bed that night.
No, you were usually, on the couch. You were playing
No,
games.
I was in bed.
Were you?
Yeah. So, before I get into that story, to finish up on how you get it, set the notifications on. These guys post these deals, and whenever things like the Super Nintendo Classic went up, they posted it within seconds, minutes, you know? So I was able to get in there and be one of the first few to get a hold of one. The thing is, those are the guys you want to follow if you want to get a hold of this stuff, because they're going to get it out as quick as possible. I was laying in bed. I just finished wrapping up Dragon Quest VIII, I think, and I closed clamshells, about to go to bed. It's about, I don't know, 20 after 12. I don't remember exactly what time. Asleep, yeah, so. You were already passed out. And my phone buzzed with the Twitter noise. And I was like, I'm tired. I'm going to go to sleep. And then it buzzed again. And then it buzzed again. And then it buzzed again. I was like, something's going on. Picked up my phone. Sure enough, the Super Nintendo Classic went on sale. And this it buzzed probably 4 times within a matter of a minute.
Wow.
Super fast. So I was like, something. I kind of had a feeling that might be what's going
on. Right, because we were all waiting for it. Like, you kept preparing me.
I knew I was prepared. And so I went ahead and checked it. Sure enough, got on the Best Buy website. Mm-hmm. Got my pre-order in. Everything's good on that. Told my friend to get on and try it. He tried it, couldn't get it. Mm-hmm. Well, I tried it again on a different account and was able to get another one. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how he wouldn't able, but I was able to get 2 through Best Buy. So mm-hmm. I let him know that, you know,
I got your back, don't worry.
I got you, you know, this one's yours, bud. So then later on in the week, or the next day, since that happened and it took everybody by surprise, they knew that they were going to do it again and with all the other retailers, and they did. And it was near impossible to get one. And I kept mm-hmm. letting my friends know, get on, try it now, try it now.
Yeah, you'd get it, and then you would tell them.
They were selling out within literally a minute mm-hmm. with each retailer. So everybody thought that they were done putting these things up mm-hmm. for pre-order. And I think the Friday, Walmart decided to surprise everybody and put it up for sale again. Yep. And they were notorious for selling out really quickly on the pre-orders initially. So they put them up again, and I Wario 64, let me know. And I got on there and texted my friend. He couldn't get one. So I went ahead and tried it again, got one. So I managed to get a third one. And, so now I'm taken care of, and two of my buddies that were looking for one are taken care of.
So recapping, like, for people, Twitter is like your...
Twitter is the way to go.
Is the way to go. And to follow...
Everybody says, well, I follow this group on Facebook, or I get notifications from this so-and-so. So I don't know how those work. Twitter never fails me. It works every single time.
Because it's so instant. It's very short. It makes sense. Instant. It does.
And, you know, especially if you turn on those notifications, you will know. You mm-hmm. will get it. And so that's my advice to you. If you're still looking to get a Super Nintendo Classic, mm-hmm. that's how you do it. Anyway... So I'm super excited about that. I can't wait to get one. I can play these games anyway. I emulate and anyway.
Honestly, that's what I was going to say is it kind like that's, I guess,
another and I own mixed, most of those games on the cartridge.
That's why I have mixed feelings is because I feel like it's kind of redundant for us because we already.
Okay.
Do you have your, it just looks cool.
Like, it looks awesome.
On one level, it just looks really neat. So I don't want to break it.
This is, the NES Classic she's pulling out. It's cute little replica of a Nintendo that actually plays.
See, if I saw this out in the wild, like, I mean, not that this game, like, I would probably buy something like this just because cool. It looks neat, right, for you. I'd be like, hey, Adrian, I'd like that.
But the coolest thing to me is it's got HDMI output and a little micro USB mm-hmm. for the power source. So you could plug this thing, take it with you, and plug it in wherever. I could plug it in my bedroom. I could plug it in the living room, play in there.
Easy as can be. Does it directly to the TV?
Yeah, HDMI.
Okay,
HDMI goes directly to the TV.
These terms sometimes, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. Okay. HDMI.
So it's super easy to hook up and play. The UI in this is awesome. I love it. You can save your games in
UI.
The user interface, the music, the how they put up the
boxes that makes sense.
You know everything.
Yeah, it does look. It's very cool. Visually appealing.
So I'm really pumped up, excited to get the Super Nintendo one. It's nice to be able to. Well, I had my Super Nintendo hooked up to the TV in here, mm-hmm. and it doesn't look that great. When you hook it up to a modern LCD TV,
I see what you're saying, right?
It doesn't look that great. So you need like a tube TV to really take advantage of it. And I have
which we
one.
Have in our garage.
If I had a bigger house, it would be in the house, but yeah.
Someday we're dreaming to have.
And I do occasionally go out into the garage and play games. It doesn't happen very often, but
it's always when
can't
it's
control
nice
the temperature
out,
out there. So.
It's when it's nice outside.
I'm super pumped to be able to just plug that thing in and play my Super Nintendo games and I'm excited. So, I guess moving on, Amy, let's talk about what you're watching. Oh, this is your segment. Right. Your time to shine.
My
Let it happen.
Time to shine. So Adrian's is video games, and my kind of like relaxing time is just to is movie and it's TV shows.
Not movies, TV shows.
Let me be specific.
And not just TV shows, the most annoying TV shows you could ever possibly watch.
No.
And I don't watch them, but I get to hear them. That's true. While you're laying in bed, I get to hear them. And the acting, TV shows annoy, well, not all of them.
I don't
but
watch it for the acting. It's like the mindless, it's the story. I don't know.
Like, I'm trying to think of ones that
Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy.
Do you hate that
worst,
song?
The
that
worst.
That song.
You're watching one right now that's not bad. The acting is actually really good in it. And I don't have any problem with it. But I hear Moriarty constantly. And that's the only thing
I'm watching
about
Elementary.
Okay.
And it's another Sherlock type show, and it's based like it's modern times, and he's in New York, and instead of having a John Watson, he has a Joan Watson. So
okay,
it's a female. And
are they a love interest too?
No, that's what I enjoy. Like, I like that. Like, they're not making them a love interest,
so they got a good working relationship,
right?
That's cool.
Well, and see, what I often do is I will start a show after it's been on for a while, because I'm a binge watcher.
Yeah,
like
you are.
I really like to binge watch a show, because I usually get into the story and I'm like, ooh, what happens next? Yeah. I want to know. So
it makes sense. I would be the same way.
Yeah. Well, especially if you enjoy it.
Yeah.
So I'm in the middle of the second season now. And you've been using that Moriarty phrase like for everything. Like, anything happens, like
Moriarty did it.
He'll be like, I didn't do it, Moriarty did it. And I'm like,
Moriarty. That's like the word that, like, you say it's Sherlock. I've Moriarty. Only heard Sherlock said once.
Sherlock.
They're constantly saying Moriarty in that show.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly. And that's also me who's listening, not watching. So
right.
And I'm not even really listening. I just hear that word again. It's like, Moriarty, Moriarty.
See,
why do you guys keep talking about Moriarty?
You really enjoy Forensic Files. So you like the real life. And you've always said that you liked it's interesting to you that, you know, a fiber from something, like they're able.
The science behind the forensics.
And I'm such an empathetic person. Like, it always makes me sad, because Forensic Files really means somebody
died. I'm not
going
to say it doesn't make me sad. It
no,
does.
No, I don't think that.
Watching those shows, it is a sad event. And you
always,
really want to know.
By the way, it's always a wife that the husband has plotted to kill too,
or somebody trying to take advantage of insurance benefits on their spouse,
right?
And
mostly
that could
the
go,
men.
No, it could go both ways. It goes both ways, but yeah, and it's usually revolves around rape and murder, which
yeah.
is why you don't.
And
like
I
it.
Don't. Yeah, I don't. I don't.
Most of the
he
most
has
of
to
the
turn
stories.
The TV down. Like, I won't. I don't like it.
There's a lot of scumbag men out there that need to be put in their place, and I like to watch this show
right.
to see how they got put
well,
in their
place.
Well,
but that's why I like Elementary. Like, it does that. Like, they found it by it's like the most ridiculous thing that they realized it was the killer. And so I like it because I can get into that, and it's kind of interesting, like, how are they going to figure it out today? And but I know that that person really didn't die. So that makes me happy.
Those annoy me because they're so fake. They are
right.
so 100% fake. Like, all the conversations that they have. And
right.
I'm not talking about this one. I'm talking about, like, what are the other ones that you watch where they're every week is some ridiculous case that they have to solve, and it's, they can't. And it's always, they're always having these stupid conversations.
Everything's on break right now. So, well, again, the one that I can think of that you've always hated was just Grey's Anatomy. Like,
yeah, but not even that one. I'm thinking like murder mysteries and stuff like that, where they're trying to solve the murder and.
Oh, like Bones?
Because
I watched
that
all that the time.
So
I watched all of
so
Bones.
Bad. It's like
I
over the top.
Show,
they
got
to have over to the top murder mysteries. Every episode, there's always some crazy person who does it over. I'm not into that. I don't want to see that. Like, I would rather watch a movie about one person than an episode every week about this.
Like, entire group. Because really, like, Elementary is just these two people. So
yeah, and they have this extraordinary life where
mm-hmm.
they get to encounter this stuff on a continual basis.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not for me. Which is why, I mean, I still like a good murder mystery. Forensic
right.
Files does it for me.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, besides that, though, you're into a lot of like, I guess anime.
Yeah.
You're into anime.
Oh, I love anime. So the type of anime that
you and I both got started watching anime. We got started watching anime at the same time, I think.
I think so.
But I fell off of it and you kept on the train.
That's because I think your anime is super boring. So
well, I love a good anime.
You like space and you like cowboys. So
pretty much.
And I'm more into the, like, I like the supernatural ones. I like the zombie ones.
I like old school.
You do. And you know what? I love Akira. Like, I love watching, like, Akira.
That's the best anime movie, in my opinion. I love that movie.
So, and I mean, I'm a huge Studio Ghibli girl. Like,
are all really great.
Again, because I'm kind of a hippie. I like that they have strong female characters. And it's really good. And we have three girls.
The attention to detail.
Oh my gosh, that's what I love. Yeah.
Are so amazing.
And it's always like the smallest thing, like the wind going through.
Somebody making a sandwich and they make sure to animate every little piece of making the sandwich. Dropping crumbs on the floor and picking up the crumbs, whatever. Right. Like they are so, like, they pay so much attention to detail. I love
it. And that's what I like. So the types of animes I love are, again, supernatural. For instance, I watched, this isn't really supernatural. It's kind of, I love Attack on Titan.
Yeah,
I'm enjoying that one.
I couldn't get into that one. I think it's a good anime. It was too slow for me.
My most favorite, though, is Tokyo Ghoul.
Yeah, I heard you talk about that one.
Oh,
well,
my gosh.
I've never seen it.
I have a fantasy, a dream someday that I will cosplay. I've never done it. I'm almost a little embarrassed because, you know, I'm the mom. But honestly, if I could cosplay...
She wants to cosplay as the main character.
I do. I'm going to gender bend it. His name is Ken Kaneki.
So why is he so cool to you?
You know, okay. So I was really trying to think what it was about animes that I like. Because you kind of gave me a heads up.
Not animes. His character.
Well, it kind of ties into all of it. So I really like, and all the animes that I watch, there's always like an underdog. And they always, I feel like it's like through the whole story, they become the strong type of person. And I really like that. I'm noticing that there's a lot of, I don't know, like, I feel like animes and maybe Japanese culture, like they really want to... pick up the underdog. Like I'm thinking of like Assassination Classroom, like the classroom, they were like considered basically like the stupid kids, and they even put the stupid kids away in this other school to where like things are dumbed down for them, and everybody didn't expect anything from them, but their teacher, who was an alien but not really an alien, like the whole point was to turn these misfits, these people who were considered nothing, into these like he shows them that they are not what people say they are, and they end up being like smart and really strong. And there's all of these like kind of emotional pulls at these things. So I really enjoy watching those and those characters developing into these like people who realize that they're stronger than they are. So those are the kind of things that I watch. I'm not a romantic person. I don't like romances. Like I'd rather watch an action movie with you.
A romantic rom-com?
Yeah. Oh, no. I can't do those. They're so... No.
I lucked out, guys.
I'd rather watch...
Seriously.
Transporter. Oh, I love that movie.
Oh, yeah.
But the romances are always so tragic in animes, and I love that. Like, there's so many times where they actually don't get to get together. And I don't know why. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of real. And it's so tragic and sad that I don't know.
Mm. Yeah. So, I don't really have any questions about them. What else are you watching besides that?
I have, an acquaintance of mine who you're wearing the shirt. We went to a gaming convention here in Oklahoma.
Super BitCon. Which is dead.
I'm so sad. I enjoyed that. Like, shout out Super BitCon. Y'all need to like pick this back up.
We still have Retropalooza.
That's true. Oh, Retropalooza. That's in Dallas, though.
Yeah.
I'm lazy. I want it to be here.
I don't mind going to Dallas. It means we can go visit my brother.
That's true. That's true.
It's only 3 hours.
It's not that bad. No. But we went to Super BitCon. We were not done partying it up because it was the first time ever. My parents took all four kids.
Yeah, that never, ever
happens. In the entire time we've been parents, we've never had like a weekend without kids. Yeah. And so we lived it up. So we were not done partying, and we went to my cousin's husband's friend's house, their friends, and I met her and I realized she had all this anime. Mm-hmm. And so I found kind of an anime buddy. Nice. We haven't really talked much, but she's got some. I have my list on my phone that she recommended. So
you guys ought to get on the anime chat.
I should. I know. I feel weird though. Like, I don't know. Is that weird to be like, hey?
Well, anime. She gave you her number. That means it's okay. That's usually what people do when they say, hey, let's chat more. Here's my phone number. Yeah. Well, that's cool. I mean, there are a lot of good, good anime out there, and it's fun to talk about that stuff. And that's why I like talking about video games. It's good to get that outlet, you know?
I kind of like when the stories don't, there's always a conclusion. There aren't very many that last.
I love that.
Yeah,
I love that about anime. Like The Walking Dead is one that I used to love.
We watched that a lot.
I watched how many seasons did we get into it before we stopped? Three?
Right.
I lost interest after like three or four seasons of that show. And I know a lot of people are still really into it, but
I want to watch it, but
stories, watch it. You don't have to wait on me.
I don't really get the TV it's, between you and the kids.
Well, and that's the other part that's hard about watching that show is because we have four kids.
Yeah. No,
they
it's
get
not
terrified
one.
Of anything very easily, right. And we do not want to contribute to that.
Like, they've never even seen it.
No, but they can hear it.
Yeah,
Yeah, that show is scary for kids, for sure. So, you know, we have a couple little ones who struggle with nightmares on a regular basis.
Right.
So we really can't watch it anyway. So, but I mean, on top of that, it's like, it just drags, and it drags, and it drags.
How long can you drag the story out?
Right? I like a good movie. I like a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Right.
I do not need all the filler crap. You know? And that's what I get with TV shows, and I think that's why I can't get into a lot of TV shows.
Yeah.
But with anime, with a good anime, in my opinion, a good one is, like you said, Space Cowboys, Cowboy Bebop, but that doesn't...
We named our dog Ayn.
Ayn, yeah. Cowboy Bebop, Outlaw Star, Trigun. I like anime where the character is just this bad dude.
I like Ghost
where
ones.
He's just super cool. He is too cool for anybody else.
XXXHolic was good.
I like over the top cool guys, you know. The Spike, the Gene Starwin.
But this is probably why I enjoy watching you play the JRPGs that are scary based. So,
well, cuz that's what I like about the JRPGs that I play. There's most of them have a character who's just like just a bad, you know, he's a bad dude. Like Final Fantasy 12 I'm playing. Balthier. He's like the Han Solo of Final Fantasy 12. He's cool. He's slick. He's a cool guy.
Right.
He's got a sidekick, you know, Fran.
Is that the one with the
bunny ears?
Yep.
And most of her butt showing through.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like the Chewbacca to the Han
Chewbacca.
Solo. Yeah. She doesn't have much to say. She's wise and only speaks when she needs to. I love the characters, you know, just I guess like the bounty hunter type characters. Those are fun.
You
for
should
me.
See Gunslinger Girl then.
I'd watch that. I mean, if that's the type that you're
well, you said bounty hunter. They're kind of like bounty hunter.
Are they like really cool? Like,
well,
like even like Trigun. The guy from Trigun. What's his name?
Oh, I don't remember.
Or is his name Trigun? Gosh, it's been so long. Maybe I need to watch that one again. but he's a goofball. He's can't take him seriously. He's always messing up, but when he needs to get stuff done, he gets stuff done.
But he's also very morally driven. Like, even though he's a goofball and you think he doesn't, then he does those things where you're like, see, I knew you're a good guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm saying. That's what I like about the animes. No, Gunslinger Girl is about adolescent girls who have died, and then they brought them back and they turned them into assassins because nobody would suspect this little girl who's like this trained assassin.
Makes sense to me.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of sad. I mean, because you think about that, but you said bounty hunter. So I thought that's kind of like that.
Well, cool. I think we're going to wrap this up. We just hit an hour, a little over an hour.
We're doing this, man.
Yeah, we made it. We made it through. Ryan will be back.
Yes.
Don't know when he'll be back, but in the meantime, Amy is going to be the fill-in until he is he's able to return. But if you guys want to find us, my our Twitter handle is at JabGCast. That's JABGCAST. That is also our Instagram handle. We have a YouTube for audio listeners. If you want to watch the video portions of these recordings, just look up Just a Bit Gaming podcast on YouTube and you'll find us. So thanks for everybody for listening.
Don't hesitate to shout out because, you know, it helps us. I have a new appreciation for podcasts because we have to, you can't just sit here and make up stuff. So letting you guys.
Yeah.
Like interact today, with us.
We had to come in here and arrange. We had to find we have a little kid's table that we're using.
You can't see. Yeah.
But yeah, it's
the car's table.
Yeah. We got books stacked up so the microphone can be up to our level. But it works, you know, whatever we can do to make this thing happen.
We want you to be able to tell us, you know, what you want to hear.
I like feedback in general. Mm-hmm. I like to have discussion topics. Yep. So,
We're going to start streaming.
Aren't we are. So that reminds me, we didn't talk about that.
Oh yeah, no.
Amy and I have been talking about possibly doing streaming together, she and I, or family streaming, you know, with the kids and coming back and doing a recording where we talk about what we've been playing, mm-hmm. Discuss different aspects of the game or the story.
It's like the book club for games,
Yeah, and a lot of other podcasts do this.
Oh, cool.
But I think it's going to be unique because we're taking it from a perspective of a non-gamer and a gamer, husband and wife, team, family team,
right.
kind of approach to it, which I think would be fun. But we're gonna find something to play on Twitch here soon, and I will post a link up on Twitter when we start streaming those. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking I want to find something for our first game, something relatively simple that we can play. Sounds multiplayer. Good. We have plans for October.
I do. I'm excited about this.
We have, I have Rule of Rose and Haunting Ground, two rare PS2 horror games.
I got one of those for you too.
Yeah, she bought me Haunting Ground for my birthday last year. Man, I'm telling you, this woman supplies my
it's an
gaming obsession. It's awesome. But you do want to see it. So.
I really want to see those. So, yeah.
So, in October, we are going to try to stream through the entirety of both games, if possible, mm-hmm. Depending on, you know, what kind of time we have. But that is our goal. And if we go into November, so be it. Hell, I'm thinking maybe we ought to start a little bit early in September, maybe.
I'm fine with that because I really want
to
see it.
Yeah, getting through two games. I don't know how long these games are, but I'm guessing we're going to need to put in a couple hours a night or something to get through them. And if we finish them early, we can start on another. But we're going to do a horror month, and we're going to start with Rule of Rose. Mm-hmm. That's the game she wants to see the most. Yep. And then from there, we'll do Haunting Ground. And so look forward to that. And I will let you know on Twitter and on the podcast when we get ready to start that. Yep. Anyway, that's all I have to say. Amy, anything?
That's it.
Well, thanks again for being on the show again. And... we'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys.